You don't need a study to tell you that aging and fatigue go hand in hand. Nevertheless, my friends at Nutritional Therapeutics, makers of NT Factor, point to 16 studies, all peer-reviewed and published in medical journals, showing that NT Factor can reduce fatigue, while at the same time, age-related changes in the cells are reversed. For 30 years, the makers of NT Factor have worked to improve our health spans by focusing on the mitochondria, the energy powerhouses of our cells. Their science shows that NT Factor, which I don't go a day without and recommend to my patients, improves our energy and prevents the deterioration that accompanies aging. They promise us that our day-to-day lives will be improved, and they keep proving it in studies that include placebo-controlled trials, both in the academic institutions and in medical practices like mine. You can find NT Factor at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Don't let tiredness and fatigue rob your senior years. Invest regularly in the anti-aging benefit of NT Factor at ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I consider this kind of an educational series, kind of a mini PhD for our Intelligent Medicine listeners in the field of nutrition and lifestyle. And we call this Intelligent Medicine, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. Putting it all together for you is my job with these podcasts and in this ongoing series. And today, we're going to welcome back one of my favorite guests. He's a great educator, Dr. Ross Pelton. His background is as a registered pharmacist, but he also has a PhD, and he's a certified clinical nutritionist. He's science and education director for Essential Formulas, makers of a product that you may well be familiar with, which is Dr. O'Hara's formula, which is a probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic combo. It's kind of a unique support for the microbiome. Today, though, we're going to diverge a little bit, and we're going to talk about the importance of glutathione, because interestingly, the EFI, the makers of Dr. Heroes, has a product that is unique. It is a probiotic that enhances our levels of glutathione. So with us today is Dr. Ross Pelton, and so without further ado, let's launch into our discussion of the glutathione theory of aging. Welcome, Ross. It's great to have you back.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. It's always a pleasure to be on Intelligent Medicine with you, happy to share some important information with all of your listeners today.
And what I enjoy about our conversations is that you always bring the latest science. You're on top of it. You're an avid reader of scientific journals and a contributor of scientific articles. So I can always depend on you for the latest, greatest updates in the field of nutritional biochemistry and microbiome research. So what's the deal here? Why do we associate glutathione with aging? I mean, there are many theories about aging. You know, aging is related to, the mitochondrial theory of aging. You know, there's the free radical theory of aging. Basically that systems, the entropy theory, that things just run down. So where does glutathione fit in?
Well, Dr. Hoffman, glutathione is made in every cell in your body, and it's a multitasking superstar. And it does so many things so importantly that it motivated me to write the Glutathione Theory of Aging, which really teaches people about the many ways that glutathione functions, and many of the things that glutathione does influence your aging process. So that's where we can start.
So is this a paper in a scientific journal, or is this a paper that's available to lay people and accessible and understandable?
It has been accepted for publication in a scientific journal, and we're going to edit it down to a little bit more reader-friendly for the general public, and that will be made available to people on our Essential Formulas website. Do a little bit of final editing, and then it'll get published in a scientific journal.
So essentially what we're getting is a preview in kind of bite-sized form, right? Because, frankly, to get accepted in a scientific journal, it tends to be a little wonky, right? Maybe challenging for even our most dedicated intelligent medicine aficionados. So so what basically are you saying in that paper? You're kind of putting down your stake on the notion that glutathione is a key player in the aging process itself, not just the disease process, but aging as an inevitable process.
Exactly. Well, first I explained to people that glutathione is called a tripeptide. It's composed of different amino acids, glutamate, cysteine, and glycine. And one of the major areas of activity for glutathione is called the master antioxidant. It's made in every cell of your body, so it's helping to protect every cell in your body against free radical damage, which really is known to be one of the foundational causes of aging. So that's where we start, is just glutathione and also a wide range of glutathione-dependent antioxidant enzymes are involved in neutralizing free radicals. And when you can slow down free radical damage and oxidative stress, you really are extending not only your lifespan, but your health span.
Indeed. And I think there's some, you know, related to its antioxidant properties. Glutathione is also like the kind of key detoxifying molecule within the body. Is that correct? And we're faced with so many environmental challenges, more and more, you know, chemicals are being introduced in the environment, that, you know, perhaps that those pathways are being strained.
Yes, absolutely. And that just brought up another one of the key functions of glutathione. It acts as a detoxifying agent for many different types of detoxification reactions in your body. It actually binds to heavy metal toxins itself, like mercury and lead, and gets them excreted from the body. But then it's also a required cofactor for a master called a superfamily of enzymes called the glutathione S transferase enzymes. And glutathione's activity in these enzymes take all kinds of toxins, especially environmental toxins, some of the agricultural pesticides and insecticides and so forth, binds to them, neutralizes them, and then excretes them out of the body. But what we need to understand is that every time glutathione is working, every time it neutralizes a free radical or binds to a toxin to eliminate it, you're actually binding to glutathione and eliminating and excreting glutathione. So glutathione levels are being depleted all the time. And with the increased incidence of environmental toxins in our world these days, there's greater stress on depleting glutathione. And I try to emphasize to people one of the most proactive things you can do for healthy aging is boost your glutathione levels.
And sometimes it's involuntary, you know, the things that we're exposed to via our diets, via the air, via the water, even via the products that we use on our skin, or, you know, air fresheners or the things that are gassing off from our new furniture. But sometimes we deliberately expose ourselves to things that require detoxification. I can think of a few instances. You know, I recently took a long bike ride in Costa Rica, and my legs were awful sore after, you know, climbing all those hills. And the one thing that works for me sometimes is Tylenol. Yeah, it does the trick and, you know, relieves the, you know, achiness. I rarely take it, but sometimes under duress I succumb. But I understand that's one of the drugs, and perhaps there are other drugs that deplete glutathione.
You're right, Dr. Ron. The acetaminophen, which is in Tylenol, one of the main pain relievers in a lot of over-the-counter and prescription drugs, is one of the fastest things to deplete glutathione. And the major risk factor there is your liver, because liver is the major organ of detoxification. Your tissue levels of glutathione are highest in the liver, and when glutathione levels get depleted, you start to have liver damage, and it is the cause of many liver transplants and or death. Tylenol or acetaminophen toxicity.
Yeah, even a relatively small amount. You know, I'm careful not to exceed, you know, maybe a couple a day, But with as few as, I don't know, you know, maybe 6, 8, 10 per day, you know, some people are tempted to like, you know, if a little is good, a lot is better. They can actually wind up in the intensive care unit on the launch pad for a liver transplant. The only way to save people.
You're right. And another thing I like to bring to people's attention, alcohol is detoxified in the liver with glutathione. So a lot of people are drinking alcohol regularly, and smoking is another one. In addition to cigarette smoke, these days we have these wildfires. You sent me some pictures of the air quality in New York City last summer, which was just horrible. Yeah. And people inhaling that smoke are depleting glutathione levels in the lung tissue, and that's where the lung damage comes from.
So who should be concerned about the potential that they're not getting enough glutathione?
I think everyone should be concerned about it, Dr. Hoffman, because there are so many things that contribute to glutathione depletion these days that I think this is one of the areas where people can be actionable, you can be proactive, and boost your level of glutathione levels so that you're better prepared to meet the challenges of increased toxins and stress levels and so forth. And I think another big contributing factor to people being low in glutathione levels is people are not consuming enough dietary protein. So that's another topic we could dive into a little bit.
Interesting.
There's a lot of scientific discussion about the U.S. recommended daily allowance for protein is being set significantly too low. But the other thing I like to emphasize is that as people age, their body's ability to synthesize glutathione declines. And I think one of the reasons is that as people age, they tend to eat less, and especially less protein, when they should actually be eating more protein, consuming more protein.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes, you know, they go by, you know, some of these cafes, you know, in midday, you know, where they have these big plate glass windows and you can look inside, and it's supposed to entice you to go inside because you see all these people happily, you know, having their desserts. And you see sometimes, you know, older people, you know, maybe it's, you know, a couple of ladies having a you know, a late lunch. And instead of eating actual food, they're having like a big ice cream sundae. You know, it's like their big, you know, occasion of the day.
Treat.
I'm thinking, this is not a good way to take all these empty calories. You know, especially if you're older, it's bad for your muscle. It's not a good building block for muscle, which tends to decline as you age. But you, I didn't realize actually it's so integral to glutathione support.
Yeah, you bet. I'm sure you're familiar with sarcopenia. We haven't talked about it on your podcast together, but sarcopenia is the term for the gradual loss of strength and muscle mass as you age. And one of the key factors is declining levels of glutathione. And so if people consume more protein, and I now take a protein smoothie after I work out, I have this, the proteins available to build muscle so my body can synthesize more muscle.
I do as well. And I got to say, and I'm not going to out you, I'm not going to out you, but I do know that you are a peer and maybe even a couple of years my senior, and you're activity level is just exceptional, and particularly in regard to your use of resistance exercise, Ross, right?
You bet. Yeah. I'm committed to resistance training, and I think everybody should be. It's some scientists did a wonderful study years ago with people when 94 to 105 years old, trying to figure out what's the most important factor for healthy aging. And the number one factor for healthy aging is maintain your muscle mass. And you must do some level of resistance training. Things like swimming and bicycling and jogging, those are all good aerobic exercise, but they're not building muscle mass. So you have to do some form of strength training to maintain your muscle mass. Otherwise, you will lose it.
Yeah, right. I just talked to my personal trainer, and he said, there's a snowstorm headed for New York, so we're going to have to change our appointment for tomorrow. The gym's closed for the first half of the day, but I religiously perform resistance training at least a couple of times a week. In addition to, you know, the swim, bike, run, you know, it's all good, but you need that, you know, the weights and the resistance. Ross, I imagine that the liver is, as you mentioned, a choke point for glutathione production. There are so many people in this country who suffer from what is called NFALD in medically. We love acronyms.
You bet.
Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Now, and of course, a lot of people have alcoholic fatty liver disease. There's a ton of people who are messing with their liver because of excess alcohol. And many are recuperating this week after Super Bowl. There's a very high double-digit percentage of Americans who have fatty liver. Now, what can that do to glutathione production?
Well, glutathione production has declined in people that have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and boosting glutathione levels is a recognized treatment protocol for that condition.
Yeah.
If you go to the hospital with that condition, they might actually give you intravenous glutathione or N-acetylcysteine. But part of the fundamental cause of the development of this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is low glutathione and not being able to adequately detoxify all the toxins. And the liver is a workhorse, but you've got to have glutathione in order for the liver to do its work.
So it seems like it's a vicious cycle because, you know, you assault your liver with all manner of things, with excess, especially carbohydrates, which have a devastating effect on fat accumulation. People live in toxic environments. They consume ultra-processed foods, which are laden with chemicals. They throw in, a few glasses of wine or some hard drinks or, you know, a six-pack of beer. And so there's a continuous onslaught on the liver. And then there's the aging factor itself, because we know that organ function declines, you know, as you age. So, clearly that's a setup for trouble.
Yep. But we can compensate for this, at least to some degree. And there's some good studies that have documented the fact that even though the body's ability to synthesize protein for muscle mass declines with age, if people take higher levels of amino acid supplementation or consume more dietary protein, they can offset that decline. So it's important for people to realize that they may need to pay more attention about dietary protein and protein supplements so that they can build muscle mass or at least slow down the decline and the loss of muscle mass.
So when it comes to supporting glutathione, I mean, there's the oral route. A few supplements support glutathione. You can take oral glutathione. I think that's a little bit of a unreliable way to build levels of glutathione because there's some questions as to its bioavailability. There are various schemes by which it's, encapsulated and, micro-encapsulated and so on. And then there's NAC. And there's even, I think, selenium plays a role. So let's talk first about that before we to set the stage for our discussion about RegActive.
Sure. Well, you're right. Selenium is an important factor because the group of enzymes called glutathione peroxidases, which are important antioxidant enzymes, there's four atoms of selenium in every molecule of glutathione peroxidase. So you've got to be getting adequate dietary selenium for this whole family of antioxidant enzymes that require glutathione. So it's not just glutathione, it's also selenium for the activation of these enzymes. And what's the next question related to that, Ron?
Well, NAC, there's NAC, and then there's oral glutathione formulations. There's even topical glutathione. Yep. Some parents are putting on their autistic kids because the belief is that glutathione support is key for recovery from autism.
Well, you're right. Let me take the first part of your question.
Sure.
Now, glutathione is not well absorbed orally. We know that it gets broken down to destroyed before it gets absorbed. So oral glutathione is not a very good
It's digested because there are three amino acids that are linked together, and the body cleaves them, and then you basically get it breaks it down. So it does not resist the digestion process that well.
Correct. There are some liposomal delivery forms that do a better job of getting absorption, but when you compare liposomal delivery forms to the RegActive forms that are produced or made available through essential formulas, there's nothing that has come close to getting the improvement in glutathione levels that these RegActive formulas from essential formulas provide. So this is really an exciting story because the RegActive formulas from essential formulas contain a very unique strain of probiotic bacteria named Lactobacillus fermentum ME3. I know that's a tongue twister. We just call it ME3 for short. But this bacteria synthesizes glutathione. So when you take capsules with ME3 in it, it goes into your intestinal tract, and those bacteria start to produce glutathione 24 hours a day. We've got multiple human clinical trials showing really quite remarkable benefits from orally ingesting these regioactive products with ME3.
It's a good point at which to pause, because we divide our podcast into two parts. We've introduced the notion that you can support glutathione by, in effect, turning your microbiome into a glutathione factory. That's via taking a unique probiotic, which is called RegActive. RegActive is available nationwide online. You can visit essentialformulas.com to find a retailer near you. It's also available in my FullScript dispensary. Visit drhoffmanstore.com. And when we return, our guest today, Dr. Ross Pelton, we'll talk a little bit about how to take it, what, you know, some of the different dosage regimens might be. We'll also go a little bit into the background of how this unique probiotic was discovered. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.